Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this morning. Today, I have a dear friend, actually, Monica Grise. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, I have my dear friend, and we go kind of way back, Monica Grise. Thank you for being here at Women Made New, Monica.
Thank you for having me, Crystalina.
So, Monica, let me just give you a little quick what's going on here with Monica and I. I actually was in sixth grade, and she went to the same school as me, and she was in the third grade. So she's a couple years behind me, and her dear sister, Alyssa, was in sixth grade with me, causing all kinds of mischief. But honestly, I was the one causing the mischief, and she would just go along sometimes, but I would always be the one getting in trouble. My poor mother, I really put her through the ringer. But Monica kind of experienced all of that firsthand, especially when I was a little girl. And she told me something while I was kind of getting ready for the show that I thought was hilarious because I didn't remember. And one time we ran into their family and we went out and we ended up going out to eat. And I think it was like the Rock Cafe or something like that, right? Like the Hard Rock Cafe. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Hard Rock. Oh, do y'all remember the Hard Rock? Is that still around?
I doubt it.
I don't know.
60th Street? No, I bet it's not.
It's probably not. I don't know. The Hard Rock Cafe. And she said to me, she goes, "You were wild, Crystalina, as a little girl." And you know what, Monica? I totally believe that because my poor mother, like I said, everybody, and my mom was on here before. I was tough. I was really tough, but God can do great things. It doesn't matter how bad you are. God can turn anything around. So my mother as well, too, and all of her experiences. So I wanted to have Monica on because right now I feel like there are so many women, especially mothers, struggling right now. And everybody struggles in their own way, right, Monica? We all struggle.
Yes,
and yep, everybody seems to be going through something. I don't care who you are, how well you have your stuff looking like you have it all put together in your Instagram photos and whatever, and however you present it to the world. I know everybody in their own way is going through something, and not everybody is going to be the same, and the level of how difficult or how hard it may be. And I'm not saying like you're going through something major right now either. I just wanted to have a conversation, mom to mom, woman to woman, and just talk about how you get through the day with all of your children and maybe some of the struggles and maybe some of the ways you overcome those struggles. So tell everybody how many children you have and how long you've been married, all that good stuff.
So I've been married 17 years, and I have 7 children aging from 16 all the way down to 1. So
how many boys, how many girls?
So I have 2 boys and 5 girls.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of drama. It's kind of the opposite of you, and it's, yeah.
So it's more like I've got the 6 boys and it's like rumble, tumble, jump and crash and bang and boom and everything gets broken. And you, it's like all soft and nice, but a lot of girl drama.
Oh, no, it's not soft and nice. My girls are like, I don't know. My boys are the mellow one and my girls are the wild ones. Yes, there's a lot of drama, but they're wonderful. All of them are wonderful.
So a lot of moms are thinking, well, how do you get through that drama? Because they're going through their own daughter's drama right now, right? And you have,
yes,
you have the teenager, you've got the, I don't know, are they in their tweens? Are they in eighth grade?
So, like, where are they at? I'm going to have, well, so it kind of goes girl, boy. So I have twins that are girl, boy, and they're going to be my next teenagers. So I will have 4 teenagers here in the next month. Yeah, there is a lot of drama. There's a lot of passion, I'll say, particularly with a couple of them. And I'm always saying you have to take that passion and do something good with it, right?
I love that word, passion. There's a lot of passion in our house with the kids, and they're very passionate.
Yeah, so there's a lot of fights, and I think that's the hardest part is the fighting, where I'm like, just goodness sakes, can we just walk away? Walk away.
And it's over typically, like, petty things, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The things my children fight over, like a ball, when there are, like, maybe 4 others just like it around in the yard, and they want that ball. You know what I mean? And those are the things that make me so frustrated. I'm just like, this is so nonsensical right now. I can't even take it.
No, and I agree.
Then I just get all the balls, put them in a bag, and I lock them away. I'm like, look, nobody gets a ball. We're done. It's over. Yeah.
No, that's what you have to do.
You know, and I think parents are afraid to have that tough love with their kids. I think parents are afraid of their kids right now.
Oh, I 100% agree. In our society, it's so sad. Kids are running our society, or in a sense. I mean, I think you have absent-minded parents also, and that they weren't well-formed. You know, like, thank God we have a good foundation, and we know we're supposed to get our children to heaven. We're supposed to make them saints, right? That's a big job.
And doesn't that seem like a joke to the world?
Yes. I think they look at us like, well, and I think a lot of these people, unfortunately, and it's so sad, they have no faith. They don't believe in anything. And that's, you look at our society, and that's why it's falling apart. There's no God.
Yes, we're very much rapidly becoming a godless society.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, Jesus is still here with us in the Eucharist, and he's not going anywhere.
Yes.
And so we've got all that we need. And maybe we do feel like we're losing the battle, but deep down, I know we're not. And Jesus is here. And as long as he's here, we got victory on our side. And he's always going to be here with us. He promised he'd never leave us. But it was really interesting, Monica. I had this little epiphany yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you know how moms get beat down. And I think women and people in general, men and women, get beat down with that demonic dialogue of you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not this. You're not that. Right? All of those things that you're not or that you can't do or you can't have. And I feel like the devil beats us up with our insecurities. But everyone is so quick to understand that. You're like, oh, I know what you're talking about. And completely like, oh, I'm not alone in that. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what people are so quick to blow off. It's like, okay, everybody understands that the evil one's after us and understands that demonic dialogue and our insecurities. Why is it so hard to believe then that God is actually whispering in your heart? Why is that so hard for us to believe that he's actually guiding us and telling us in our conscience, look, you need to do A, B, and C today. And we ignore him. We blow it off. We say later, like God isn't talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of like shocked because that is what people do. It's like they're so quick to just like give way and just give that power over to the evil one in our thoughts. But then when it comes to God whispering, saying, call that person or stop dating that person or don't go to that place anymore or don't let your kids watch that or don't let them go over grandma's house today for some reason, we kind of are like, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, I'm just going to keep going because that doesn't seem right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we really, honestly, in today's day and age, we really had to listen to intuition. Intuition was given to us for a reason, right? And I know you always talk about your center compass and really listening to that. But I think also I think in today's society, it's really hard to take a moment of just peace. Like whenever I try to get up in the morning, I would like to say I get up before the kids, but I don't all the time during the school week. It's like taking that time in the morning, especially when it's quiet, to pray. And I really always try to do that because that's kind of when I'm like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do today? Use me as an instrument. And also I always pray to protect my kids because there's a lot of scary things out there. You know, I think it's just taking that moment of just peace and quiet before the day starts in prayer and asking for that wisdom. There's so many distractions.
That is beautiful. And I think a lot of women out there, including myself sometimes, because it's like out the gate, especially when you have little ones, they're just like, mom, jumping and this and that. And you're like, your eyes aren't even open. And they're like all over you.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take that time in the morning. But if we can, and I think what you said was so important, in that we have to pray for protection for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think that is a thing, but our children need spiritual protection. And if we don't ask God for that, they're not going to ask for that because they don't know how to yet. And so it is almost our duty as parents to protect our children from what's going on. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think I loved it when we prayed before we started this, is asking Mother Mary to put us in our mantle. Every morning when my kids leave the door, I ask to put my husband and my children in our mantle and myself. Because we need everything we can get right now. We are in the biggest spiritual battle of our lives. And I think it's only going to get worse. I'm assuming it's going to get worse, but I do have hope. You do look at the community we have too. It can't be all doomsday and stuff. You can't dwell on that stuff. but we definitely have to pray for protection every day, every day.
I am here with Monica Grise. Monica, I want to know, what does your day look like? Because you have 7 children, you're a stay-at-home mom, you have your girls, you have your boys, and your husband. Like, what does that all look like for the listeners?
So during the school week, we are out the door, and thank God my husband does drive the kids most of the time because his work is down the street from school. So that worked out really well. But my kids are out the door at 6:30 in the morning. And so I try to get up with them at 5:30 and get everybody out the door. And it looks like a bomb went off in the house once they leave.
Does the bomb frustrate you? I still have not gotten over the bomb, and I live in the bomb.
Yeah.
And I get
it
overwhelmed.
It does really bother me sometimes. Yes. Not all every day, but there are days when I get up and I'm like, oh, I have to do this all over again today.
Let's talk about that. That's a thing.
Yes.
There have been days where I am like, it's almost 1 in the morning, and I just put that last lunch, got those shoes out, socks, and my kids are starting to like get the stuff together. But there was a time where I had to do all of it.
Yes, and I used to do the same.
Oh my gosh. And you go to bed and you're just like, oh my gosh, Lord Jesus, you really want me to do that all over again? And I'm like 8 months pregnant. Really? It's just like, whoa.
Yes.
It's a lot. And you know what? That's okay though. That's okay. That's normal. That is a normal, I think, feeling and reaction at times because we're human and it can be overwhelming. And those are the moments, though, Monica, that I like to call mom strong. Wouldn't you say those are the moments where
you've
got to be
mom strong? I do agree with you because I look and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to offer this up for whatever struggle might be going on in our household or for my kid's future spouse. I always try to think of like little or even when I'm doing laundry. I hate doing laundry. Laundry is I would rather scrub bathroom floors or a toilet. I don't know what it is about laundry. Maybe because it just never goes away.
Because there's so many steps. Okay. It's not like a one and done.
No,
it's like this constant nemesis that is always after me. And that I can't
defeat. And when you do catch up, you're like, oh my gosh, the laundry room looks so beautiful. And then you're like, did you have to go dump that all over?
It's been 5 minutes.
Could you sort it? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I think I agree with you. The mom strong is that is a good way to put it. I think those are ways where you can like, you know what, Lord, this is going on in our household or, you know, this child is suffering with this. And you just offer it up for that. Those are just simple little ways. I think that you can offer up those kind of things that are just mundane and they're not, you know, it's a stay at home mom job. That's it.
That's right. And it was interesting because I was talking to my dear friend Tiffany, right? And I think I had 5 at the time. And I think she was pregnant with her 6. It's always been like that with this friend of mine where she's always ready to have the baby. And I'm in the middle, like, I just am starting to have the baby. You know, it's just been like that over the years. And I was sitting talking with her and I heard her say, I said it. I said, it doesn't seem like it should be this hard. It's so hard. And she goes, what did you say? And I said, it's so hard. It shouldn't be this hard. She goes, I think that all the time. And I said, oh my gosh, it's the same lie. The devil is feeding us the same lie. And I said, you know what? He's probably feeding that to all the moms all over when they're struggling, even if they have 2 or 1. It's just they're probably like taking that in like, oh, it should not be this hard. And I'm thinking of that now and even back then of, well, who said it shouldn't be? Jesus never said it was going to be easy. I mean, he picked that cross up and he went and he died on it. Like, it wasn't easy, but nobody ever said it was. And, you know, I think it's that spirit of the world that says things should be easy. Things should be fast. Things should be immediate. And it shouldn't, you shouldn't have to suffer in any way. And there's ways and means to alleviate all of that. And God is completely out of that picture. But moms out there that are struggling, that are having that hard time, that it's just like, oh my gosh, I have to do this all over. Oh my gosh, we're having another baby. This is going to be so much. And I've been in your shoes too with that. My listeners out there, it's just like, how am I going to do this? And if it wasn't for my faith, Monica, and the grace of God in those hard times, who knows where I would be? Who knows if we have as many kids as we have right now, if I took that into my own hands. And I thank God for the grace to be obedient to his will and being open to life. Because can you imagine not having like Ella, or not having me, not having Angelica or Lewis or Luke or one of my kids?
No, I think about this often because it's hard being open to that when you have a lot of kids already.
Well, it's like, how are you going to do this? How am I going to do this again?
I'm so tired. Yes.
You live exhausted for a while.
You really do. Actually, I have a funny story that I want to share when I got pregnant with the twins. And this is just really being submissive to God's will. Mm-hmm. But so it was back in 2010, and that my husband is in, and that's really when the market tanked. And we really pretty much lost everything overnight. It was a very tough time. And so we had said, we have like a big devotion to St. Joseph. And I said, you know what? I just feel like we need to do NFP. Like, I don't know how we're going to be able to afford this. You're going to have to go back to school. Like, there was just all these things, really a lot of uncertain things. And I was like, I just don't feel like we should be having more children. You know, I might have to go back to work. And so I said, well, let's say a novena to St. Joseph and just leave it. We'll just see what we get from that novena. And so at the end of the novena, Kristalina, I never really got an answer. You know, like St. Joseph can kind of be silent sometimes, and then he throws you a curveball.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Paul, I don't even know. I have no idea. I guess we're just going to have to like put it in God's hands. I don't even, you know. And so anyways, I get pregnant, and I was going to a Catholic doctor at the time, and I'm going for my first ultrasound, and Paul wasn't with me. So we get in there, and my doctor's doing the ultrasound. He's like, oh my gosh, Monica, do you see what I see? And I look at the screen and I was like, what is, like, is that two?
Oh my God.
And he was like, you're having twins. There's two in there. And I was like, I was in tears. I was in shock. And then he was like, and they're due on St. Joseph's feast day. How beautiful is that?
Gosh.
And I was like, that's not beautiful. This is terrible. Like, I was in tears. I was just like,
So let's talk about that. Why were you in tears? Let's talk about that, because I have been too. And because it's not that you don't want that child. And it's not that you're just like, oh, this is horrible and bad and we don't want life. And it's not. It's not that. I totally get you, but I want you to tell me why you were in tears.
We had two little kids at that point. I would be having four little kids under the age of 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then being pregnant with twins, you're like, I don't know how that pregnancy is going to go. And I don't have terrible pregnancies, thank God. I really do have decent pregnancies. But I think it was just all these uncertainties. But then it was like, okay, God's never abandoned you. Like, now I can look back at that. And those were very hard times, even the first year after we had the twins, just financially and just all of that. But I think God sent me the twins as a distraction.
Wow.
Honestly, I really do believe that. And my mom's always like, I remember when I came to visit you and I felt so bad leaving you, because Paul at that time was working two jobs and going to school full time. We never saw each other. And I think, honestly, I really think God sent me the twins as a distraction. Be like, you know what? None of that stuff matters. And he does. He's always taking care of us. And I just always had to remind myself that. I had to remind myself of that a lot.
So during that time, were you resentful? If you don't mind
me
asking.
No, not at all. I think in the beginning, maybe I was. And then I was like, no, this is going to be great. And I do. I love babies. I do love kids. Maybe I was a little bit resentful, like, gosh, I wish my husband was around to help, because this is like,
resentful towards Jason. Let's have an honest conversation.
Yes.
I really went through a lot because it was like baby after baby. And our first son was so sick. It was just like the first two years of his life. Just we wanted to keep him alive. It was a lot. And that was my first experience of motherhood. And while he was hospitalized for 3 weeks, I found out I was pregnant while he was in the hospital.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Was like, you are, I remember kneeling in adoration and I literally was like, Jesus, you are kidding me right now. Like, I was bawling. Like, I was so overwhelmed going through what we were with our first son that I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to have another sick baby? Is there something wrong with me and my body that I can't have healthy babies? Like, listen to all of these things and doubts flooding my mind. I mean, that's brutal stuff. But at the end, like I said, that relationship with God, having a real honest relationship, Monica, we're talking about, like, I can let Jesus know, look, I'm overwhelmed. I'm a little upset right now. I don't like what you're doing right now in my life, but I trust you wholeheartedly, and we're just going to keep going. But I'm a little upset right now. That's okay. That's a real relationship. You can't have a relationship and be plastic all the time and act like everything's great and perfect, because it's not.
It's not.
Life's
it's
messy.
Really not. Yeah. No, it absolutely is. And I mean, that's where, you know, that's, you got to look at all these struggles, and it makes you stronger. And I think it, you really, like, you look at all those struggles and really you're like, this is nothing. You know, look at like some of the people like in, I mean, gosh, we live in the United States of America. We live like in the greatest country, but you look at people like in Syria or in these Middle Eastern, like these people are going through real heartache, real heartache. And these are, and we're complaining, you know, I don't know. I try to offer it up for things, but yeah, no, it is a real thing. And everybody does have their struggles.
Everyone does. And they're all different, because you don't know where that person is emotionally, mentally, and the own prison that they have within themselves that they don't even show the world, you know, that they're going through. And it's hard. And I've talked to those women and I experienced that myself. And you just feel so alone and isolated. But when I look back at those times in my life, that was my own fault. I was allowing myself to be alone. I was allowing myself to be isolated. I didn't want to let anyone in my house and see my struggles and my mess and just how I was having a hard time. And like, oh my gosh, I'm Catholic and I don't know how to run a household like Martha Stewart. And I'm not this like godly, like just Catholic mom who knows how to do it all. It just, I didn't grow up with like a Kimberly Hahn, you know?
Yeah.
I had a working mom who ran her own company and was a CEO.
Yes.
And I just didn't get that growing up. A lot of women did, and they were very lucky. But I feel like I was a casualty of the 60s, of where that mentality went into the 80s and 90s. Like, you leave your home, you have to be an entrepreneur. That's where you're successful, and rah-rah woman feminism nonsense.
Yeah.
But there were casualties left behind. I was one of those casualties, and not because my mom wanted to. It was out of necessity. She's raising us by herself. My dad left when I was 2. So there really wasn't much of a choice there. And she was good at what she did. And she always provided for us, always provided for us. But I also grew up looking at, like, I had this self-dependency. And that's what women were supposed to be, is self-sufficient, self-dependent. You don't rely on anyone, especially a man. They're going to end up leaving you. You know, as a little girl, seeing that growing up and never once seeing a woman be submissive to a man in my life, in any of my women in my family. So when that concept came in the church and I had to live that out in my marriage, it was like, whoa, what is happening right now?
You know,
but that was my own pride and brokenness. And I think a lot of women do kind of struggle with that. And it's something we have to take to prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, of course, you want your house to look perfect and you want everything to be perfect and in place, but it's not. It, you know, you do have to take that to prayer. And I think I do struggle with that sometimes. Like, why just can't it just be this way? But, you know, that's not what God's asking.
You're right. It's not what God's asking. That's the thing. That's my own issues. Those are my own issues I had back then.
It really is. And I know every mom struggles with it. Every mom struggles. Like, okay, I have 4 sisters. 3 of them are married. We all have a bunch of kids. And we do talk about this all the time, you know, but that's not where God wants us. And that's, you know, I have to remind myself of that is, you know, this is not going to be perfect. And that's not the way raising a family is, you know, it's not meant to be perfect.
Right. And maybe it's the carrot the devil puts in front of a lot of us of like, oh, your house isn't clean. You better get to clean. Yeah. You better start busying yourself. And we start busy. And we're not busy with the work of God.
Yeah.
Or busy with the things that we're supposed to be doing because we're so concerned about this carrot the devil's dangling in front of us of perfection.
Yeah.
You know, and of course your house should be clean and this and that. But okay, I have 6 boys, 2 girls, and there must be like in all of our cabinets in our house, there must be like 8 of them that are a little broken or shaky, or the door is completely off for my kids climbing on top of the counters, right? Or something. And I've told them time and time again, we don't do that. Feet on the floor, la, 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 la. But they're boys, and it's just like, it just doesn't always work out that way.
No,
now, we are
not
going to take a quick break with our dear friend, Monica Garais, and we're just having a good old-fashioned woman-to-woman, mom-to-mom conversation just about real life, and I want women out there to know you are not alone, especially you mamas out there. So we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. So today we are talking with Monica Grise, and I just wanted to have a conversation, woman to woman, mom to mom, and just being a Catholic woman and mom in this day and age, because there is a lot going on, and we're definitely under attack, and our feminine genius is under attack. And you know what? That's okay, because if we are truly living out our faith and living in the will of God, there are going to be attacks, and we all know that. And so instead of running from those attacks, we really need to handle these attacks and insecurities and whatever's going on in our lives as women of God. And we handle these attacks on our knees. We don't go to the world, and we don't go to the latest blog post, or we don't go and keep talking to friends and this and that. We first and foremost, the thing that has helped me most, ladies, because I've done all of those other things, is just going to God first, getting his counsel, praying, finding that peace in the storm, and then moving from there, then talking to everyone, then doing everything, because I know I'm moving in the direction of the will of God. And that is the most important thing, is moving and being in the will of God and also being right with God. That is the most important thing that you can do right now. And imagine just waking up tomorrow and being at peace. And Monica, every show, I always say it is Saturday. Yeah. And I sound in the alarm, and it is confession. Everybody, yes, in the United States, in most churches, in most dioceses, on Saturday afternoons have confession. So if you have not been to confession in a while, or you started noticing that you're having some struggles, maybe you didn't have, or they're starting to come back, or they're creeping up on you, or you're losing your patience more, or you don't have the willpower that you used to, that's when you take a spiritual inventory and you really look at, okay, whoa, I gotta get these things in check. And when's the last time you went to confession? When's the last time you got scrubbed down? And then you really can hear what it is God is asking you to, because the longer I stayed away from confession, it was harder to hear God's voice. It was harder to do what I knew was right. And until I completely gave in and I gave way to the world, and I was a miserable mess. And through my conversion, God can change anything. And I know he wants to change you. So let this be an invitation that Jesus is pursuing you. He wants you. He's calling you. And like I said, everybody, there is nothing more important than being right with God right now. What would you say to that? How often do you take your kids to confession, Monica?
So right now, I like to go every first Friday, first Saturday.
Nice.
My son, Hugh, he wants to do the devotion. And so I really try to make an effort. So usually Paul and I will take the kids. But thank God, I mean, the school we go to, they do offer confession. And the kids, anytime that opportunity arises, they usually go. So usually I'm taking... So I try to go once a month, if not more, and I try to go to the same priest if possible. And I just really started doing that in the last couple of years. But I find that very helpful, because then that priest starts to recognize you. Like, if you're going face to face, which this particular priest does face to face.
You know what that's called? Is spiritual growth. That's what it does. It gives you spiritual growth, and it can be hard and humbling, because this priest, yes, does get to know you spiritually and really gets, yeah, to know where your weaknesses are, where you're falling, how the evil one's coming after you. And it's just like, okay, well, we really need to kind of step up here, Crystalina, because you keep falling, yeah, into this, and why, and what's going on. And confession is not a counseling session, but that priest does absolutely get to know you and where you are at. And it really does help you grow spiritually going to that same priest. Have you seen that happen with yourself over the years?
Yes. And so so when the kids were younger, I mean, I think there was a time, it was probably when the twins were born, I didn't go to confession for the year.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, where do I start? Like, you know, cause you really have to sit down and start thinking about things. Like usually when I'm in line for confession or an hour before, like I'll sit down and I'll write down my sins because I'm going to forget.
What kept you away so long?
Really? I think it was just so hard to get there on a Saturday because Paul worked full time and my parents don't live here. My in-laws didn't, and my sister works that lives here. So it's not like, hey, can I drop off all my kids? And I don't like taking my kids into the confessional. If I have
I don't either. I understand.
It's such a distraction. If you, I mean, and I know not everybody can do that, but I just find it a distraction. And that's also why I write things down. But no, really going, you really do grow spiritually. And if you find a priest that you like, and don't be afraid of a priest. I know people are like, oh my gosh, going face to face. It's like, no, they're there. That's what they're there for. This is nothing to be scared of. And so, yes, I feel like I have grown spiritually. I feel like it's just, it's so nice because I know what I need to work on that next month if I don't, you know. And sometimes if it's available and I'm there, I will go more frequently than that.
So how do you handle dating in your household? A lot of parents are struggling with this and the phones and all of the nonsense. Yes. I want to know what you do in your household.
So dating. So my oldest Ella is 16 and I'm pretty sure I know she likes somebody, but dating's not allowed until 18. We've talked about it. We talk about it openly. It's like dinner table conversation.
Yep.
It's dating is for marriage. And I dated a lot. My parents, I don't even know if they really had an age, but I did date a lot. And it really looking back, I'm like, it was really kind of silly. There was no reason for it. And so what I always tell Ella, and she, you know, she's 100%, she agrees. She's like, well, first of all, I can't even drive. Where are we going to go? Like, and I love that these things, you know, that she thinks about these things. Cause I'm like, gosh, I feel like she has more wisdom than I did. I was just kind of boy crazy, but yeah. So 16 or 18 is the, you know, and I even told her, I don't know that I recommend even in college, like go to college and experience college. Don't rush into dating unless, you know, I mean, I guess unless you're called to marry that person, but I don't think you want to be dating that person for 4 years. Cause I mean, as I tell you, oh, I'm like, you're just going to get yourself into trouble possibly, you know?
No, it's true. And the thing with dating, and they get so consumed with the boy and the relationship and the future and all of these things that are so in their imagination, you know, that it's just like, okay, let's look at the reality and not like this future you're planning in your head and your wedding dress and all of these things, you know, it's like, let's ground yourself here. And it's like, what is it God wants you to be doing right now? And it's truly when I was not distracted and I really made Jesus the center, that I was not distracted with guys and dating and getting that wedding ring. It was, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do in your life? And I totally surrendered. And I really feel that Jesus wants to write order our lives with him first. Because Monica, honestly, wouldn't you say once that person does come in your life, it's like you're consumed with them. You want to spend all your time with them. You want to talk with them. You want to do things. You want to go and blah, 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 blah. Right?
Yeah.
And that's how it should be to progress to marriage. But if it isn't right ordered and you become obsessed with this person or always these like wishful thinking nonsense and dating, maybe sometimes even a loser, and you're just hoping they're going to become what you want them to, which that won't happen.
Nope.
You're wasting so much time, and it's that dangling carrot again, I feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took the bait. I totally took the bait back in the day when I was living that crazy life. And I wasted so much of my time in so much unnecessary drama that just didn't even need to be there. But I wasn't formed properly. I didn't know any better. And you do it because you think that's what you're supposed to do. Right?
Yeah.
That's
it. No, absolutely. I mean, I was in the same boat. I dated a lot, and there was one guy I dated for 2 years, and I looked back and I was like, it's always that hope that they're going to change. You cannot date somebody. And I tell my kids this, you do not date somebody thinking they're going to change. That is not how it works.
No. And wishful thinking is not doing it. And if anything, they can get worse. So that wishful thinking could be dragging you down a really long, hard road into a really bad relationship, right?
Yes.
And so it's just like, that's why it's just like, I just tell my kids, listen, you've got to just listen. And I'm like, I know you know. You are 16 years old. You know now, okay? And I know you know. So you cannot sit here and tell me, bah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. Because that's one thing, parents, if you could do anything with your little ones, form their conscience.
Have them
listen to that voice, because when they walk out of the house one day and they are not with you and they're going to their friends or they're going to school and you are not around anymore, and it's slow increments of it, right? Until high school comes and they're like not even here anymore. They have their own car. They've got their sports. They've got this and that. They're getting ready to go to college. And it's just like, but that conscience isn't going anywhere. And Jesus is not going anywhere. And I know because some of my kids have come home at times and said, oh, I'm so glad I listened, Mom, because they got in so much trouble or this or that. Or they're like, oh, yeah. I wish I would have listened. I knew. And I said, see, I told you. You know, yeah. But you have to let them go through it. We are talking with Monica Garais, and we are just having a mom-to-mom, woman-to-woman conversation about just what goes on in our lives and Monica's life. And she has 7 children, and she's trying to raise a good, holy, godly family in this crazy day and age, and so am I. But I really wanted women out there and all you mamas that are striving and staying mom strong, I wanted to let you know you're not alone. You're not alone in this at all. I go through it. She's going through it. And I just wanted to talk about our experiences and what we're doing. And even if it's just our struggles, I just want you to know and have the peace, like, you are not the only one, because there were times in my life where I really did think I was the only one and there was something wrong with me and all of these things were happening. And it was very hard, especially when you have a big family and the world is not going to understand. It's not going to be compassionate. And frankly, it will beat you down. But that's okay, because we're not of the world. We are women of God, and we don't solve our problems and we don't take the opinions of the world personally, because we're women of God and those things just can't matter. And that's where we have to get some thick skin, and you have to pray that God give you that holy courage and wisdom, because things are going to come at you as a mom of a big family, as a woman of God and trying to live her faith out and doing what's right. The attacks are going to come. But, you know, I was listening to this pastor yesterday, Monica, and I was like, my jaw dropped when he said this. I was kind of shocked, but I loved it. I loved it, right? It was one of those moments yes. where he said, not once in the Bible did God ever say, run from the evil one. He always says, you stand your ground and you fight, and I will fight with you. And you put on the armor of God. And he, like, equips us, because he tells us when the battle comes, because it is coming no matter what. You're not stopping it, right?
Yeah.
But we can be prepared when it comes. But never does he say, you run. And I feel like that's what our society is doing right now. They are running in fear, like chickens with their heads cut off, and they don't know up from down, and they're just going with the flow and like a herd and just doing whatever they're told. And we cannot be like that, because we know better. And it's beautiful, because I actually understand, and a lot of women I've talked to, I actually get when Jesus says, my sheep know me and I know they hear my voice, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the exact Bible verse, so I'm not going to act like I do. Yeah. But I do hear God's voice. It's true. And we know his voice. I know you know what I'm talking about. And there are people out there who know what I'm talking about. And there are some out there that are longing for that. And you can have that. But just, it's those little tiny things that God asks us just to be obedient and listen and listen, no matter what. Obedience and just listen. Because sometimes it's hard. We don't want to. I mean, you know what that's like, Monica? It's like, oh, I don't want to get up. My son is throwing up and needs me, and I'm so tired and pregnant, and I can't stomach this right now, but I'm going to be mom strong and God is with me, and let's go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or when you're frustrated and you just folded all the laundry and they're wrestling and they knocked everything over.
Yes.
Things like that. Little stupid things, you know? But at the same time, those little things are the things that make you just incrementally stronger, right?
Yes.
And I heard a quote yesterday I love too. I'm always listening, right, in my AirPod while I'm doing housework and laundry and cleaning and driving, listening to things, constantly just, I don't know, filling myself up with the Spirit of God and scripture and whatever, and Mother Angelica. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. Mother Angelica is amazing. She really fixes my little wagon all the time. And you would think that she absolutely, it was for my grandma, and her message isn't for someone like me who has a big family and going through what we're going through right now. And it's just like, she is so spot on, and her message is really for our time. It was for her time, and I think it is so much more even for our time right now, Monica, and what we're going through. And the fact she came from a divorced family, and she came from such just, it was messy. It was really messy. And look what God did with her. It's just beautiful. And she's such a light and example in this darkness that all it takes is just saying yes. And even if you're afraid, you say yes. And it's beautiful. And if you are having a hard time, listen to her. I listened to 300 hours of her to get this book done. And wow, did I learn and grow in that time that I listened to her. And I really encourage you to go to EWTN's YouTube page and listen to her wisdom. It is phenomenal, and it will really help you right now with situations you wouldn't even think of or even imagine or think that she can even relate to something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. No, I mean, I even look at like Fulton Sheen. He's another one.
Yes.
And I think even like, well, okay, my grandmother's not Mother Angelica Fulton Sheen, but she died when she was almost 104 and she was just full of wisdom. I mean, look at the experiences they had, especially with Mother Angelica coming, you know, from a divorced family. Like, does it make those people unworthy, right? You know this. This
yes.
is, it, yes, there is beautiful things that can come out of children from, you know, divorced families. It's just maneuvering through that. But you're right. If you're listening to God's, you know, listening to him, you'll find your way.
You always will find your way. Yes. I love that. You will find your way. And this pastor said yesterday that when you are suffering and you are going through something, that it's just pain. It's just pain is weakness leaving your body. And God is just making you stronger. So just think of it that way. Because if anybody, like, we want to be strong for our children, right? We want to be spiritually strong. We want to be physically strong. We want to be able to do and be able to nurture and be there when our kids need us. Because we always don't feel so strong. But with God, you can be that mom strong in that weakness, right?
Yes. Well, I think I can't remember who said this, but it was like, if God throws you more like obstacles, it means because he loves you more. You're listening. I don't remember who said that, but I was like, geez, I don't know if I want him to love me that much.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's like, wait, but there is truth to that. Like, you know, it's this test, because look at what some of this and through horrific things, you know, that's what it takes to get to heaven.
Yes. The saints
really
did go through a lot.
So like these little things are just building us up to get to that point.
Absolutely. Okay. What are like 3 to 4 practical things that you can give to moms right now that really help you, that you do in your own life and in your own household?
Okay. Praying. Try to pray in the morning. The rosary with your, and saying the rosary with your family. I know that can be
a circus sometimes.
A whole rosary. Yes, it is an absolute circus if we do it sitting in our living room. I mean, like, our 2 and 4-year-old are, they're nuts, but I let them kind of just play and do a book and everyone else pays attention. But still, they will learn. That takes time. But even my grandma always said, even if you can't say the whole rosary, just say a decad. Just start with a decad, and that could be laying your kids down at night. You know, and just that's your routine of putting them to sleep, or even in the car. We say our rosary in the car a lot. But I will say, if you can get a rosary in every day, you will see the blessings. I promise. I'm not making that up. You will see the blessings. But if you can just get your rosary in. And I can't remember what priest also. I think practical, like, I know if you're a busy working mom, is if you can give 15 minutes of prayer. You know, and then if you're not as busy, I think they say up to an hour, but 15 minutes and start your day off with that. And even at the end of the night when the house is quiet, just 10 minutes, thanking God, if everyone's home, you know, to put our guardian angels around us, that sort of thing. Other practical thing, you know, it's really just putting God at the center of your family.
Now, what are some practical tips that you can actually give moms that are raising girls right now? Because I know there are moms that are just wanting to pull their hair out and just like, this is so hard. What can I do? And you have like all ages. So what would you say for moms that are having a hard time in their relationships with their daughters?
So I would say if you have multiple kids, it's really nice to take one of those children out, especially if you're having a hard time, and take them out to coffee. Or take them out to movie or get your nails done or something. Take them out one-on-one and talk to them and kind of make that a, you know, if you're able to, like an every other week type of thing and talk to them about their struggles. I feel like that one-on-one is really, really important. to have with your children and your daughters in particular, because we were all there. I mean, it's hard. I feel like some of our kids are probably, they have so much more that they have to face now than I think what I had to face. Mm-hmm. So I really think that one-on-one mom time is really important.
And it's not easy because there's so much demanded of you.
Yes.
And there's so much you're already giving, and to stop all of that and then to do that, it is a lot, but it could even be going
to the grocery store. I mean, every once in a while, like, okay, I haven't had one-on-one with you. You're coming to the grocery store with me, or I have to run this errand. It could be that. It could just be those 10 minutes in the car ride. You know, it doesn't have to be an elaborate thing, but I just think that one-on-one time is really important when you're having a busy family life, that you're just showing that child, you are important. I do love you. Like, what's going on? That, you know, just that kind of stuff. It goes a long way.
It really does. I would say yes. And moms, I'm telling you, I know this sounds so silly. Okay. Two things. Keep a deck of cards in your purse or in your car. It is the best. You get stuck in a doctor's office, or you're stuck in like traffic, or something happens and you're just like there, and what are you going to keep giving them your phone? No, you don't want to do that. Right.
No.
And so it's just like, oh my gosh, we whip out cards and we start playing Goldfish or Speed or Rummy or whatever it is. But always, that's like my 911. I have a pack of cards.
I'm going to have to try that.
I literally go to that. I'm serious. Just always keep it in your glove compartment and have one in your purse, because we got stuck at a doctor's office for something. We were there for like 2.5 hours and we just played cards and hung out. It was the best.
That's great.
Just have that. And the second thing is, especially with the boys, I think because you're in motion and doing something, is just get a ball and take them outside if they like it or not, and just throw the ball back and forth at them. Just a bouncy ball, a fuzzy ball. I don't care what you're throwing. Just go out there with your boys and just throw the ball around, and you're totally bonding. You don't even realize, but you are. And I have 6 boys, okay? And they're not all the same, different temperaments, different a lot of everything. But I'm telling you, there's something about that with them, and it's bonding and they love it. It's fun. And I always make sure we just have just bouncy balls in our house, you know?
Oh yeah.
And it's just, they feel important just throwing a ball around, even if it's for 10 minutes. But I know that sounds silly, but
it's not
a big deal.
But it's true. It is a big deal. It is. It is in a big family when they, you know, it's like taking, I know you mentioned devices earlier, like the devices drive me nuts. And
oh,
I think
gosh,
it's just trying to take that and be like, no, you don't need that to entertain you. It's, you know, you need, take time, go outside, do, you know.
There are things. There's a lot that we can do. And I know it's difficult, and we're all guilty of handing the phone over. I know we are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just little tips like I gave you, just do that with them. And I'm telling you, it does go a long way. Monica, I can't believe it, but we are out of time. And I loved our conversation.
Yes,
thank you for being so
great,
honest and open and willing to just let everybody into your life, and just to see that it doesn't matter what's going on, and there's ebbs and flows and stages, and you can get through it, but you get through it because your relationship with Jesus, right? And that is your foundation. And like I said before, I just want other women out there to know you are not alone in your struggle and how you feel sometimes, and that is okay. And as long as you just keep showing up to your fight, you keep getting up, and to just stay in the will of God, He's got you. And He's got all of us. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. All that matters right now is where you go from here. And hopefully some of us are going to confession, because I know I am too. So it's not just you. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm going to, everybody. So God bless you. And thank you, Monica, for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Yes, thank you.
I want to thank my guest again, Monica, for being here. And for those of you that have not picked up my new book, Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, if you know a woman in your life, or this rings true for you, that maybe you're struggling, or if you're struggling in your motherhood and it resonates what Monica and I were just talking about,
or maybe your mother or your grandmother or your aunt or your friend who's in that bad relationship. Whatever may be going on in that woman's life that you know of who is having issues right now, this book can help. And also, if you go to Adoration and you don't know what to do, or you feel awkward, or you're just sitting there and you don't really know how to spend that time with Jesus, this is an excellent book to take into Adoration with you, and maybe take a chapter at a time and just see the things that Jesus places on your heart as you read that chapter, and just dive into those things with Jesus while you're in there sitting with him. And a lot of the times that's what I would do. I would go into Adoration, read a scripture or take some spiritual reading and just see what God had put on my heart. So this definitely is a good book to take into Adoration and kind of piecemeal it. And also in the back of my book, I put inspirational Bible passages, because that's one thing I learned to do, is to go to the Bible when I needed that help or that advice, or maybe I was feeling a little lost. And as Catholics, we really need to learn our scripture and dive into the Bible a little bit more. And Jose Maria Escriva says, if God gives you the burden, God will give you the strength. And wow, have I found that in my life. And a lot of us have a lot going on right now, but God will always give us the strength. And so get inspired by the word of God. And in the back of my Women Made New book, there are Bible verses in different sections. If you are struggling with anger, if you're struggling with gossip, if you're struggling with lack of faith, just different issues that I know women have struggled with and that I've struggled with myself, I have placed Bible verses in the back to make it nice and easy for us ladies. So get that book, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, and all the other beautiful contributors that are in there as well. You can get it at EWTNRC.com. Also, ladies, please keep me in your prayers and know that I will be praying for you and take you into my holy hours and my daily mass with me. And know you have someone who is praying for you. And if you could please pray for me and my family, it would mean the world. I hope you all have a wonderful and blessed weekend. And we are going to finish up with advice from our very own here at EWTN, Father Mitch Pacwa. God bless. What advice do you have for people who are really maybe struggling in their faith, but really want to live good, holy, godly lives right now, but are just having a hard time?
Pay attention to what the source of that struggle is. What is the tension that's causing you to struggle? And then find out what it was that is going on in the issue that bothers you. For instance, well, how does my faith fit with science? How does it fit with people liking me? First of all, change friends. But take a look at all the things that are bothering you and address them head on. Don't just say, I don't know what to do. No whining, or give you something to whine about, as my mother used to say. So that would be one of my suggestions.
Excellent. Thank you, Father Mitch.